Good evening and welcome to worship on this Maundy Thursday, the night we remember that Jesus met with his disciples, commissioned them, established Holy Communion, told them that they were servants, gave them a new command for their ministry, and set out the scope for the last 3 days of his life here on earth. So we gather together in his holy name, and we begin our worship the way that we always do. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take some time to share that peace with the people around us. This evening, our Lenten observance comes to an end, and we gather with Christians around the world to celebrate the 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. Tonight, we remember Christ's last meal with his disciples, but the central focus is his commandment that we live out the promise that is embodied in this meal. As Jesus washed his disciples' feet, so we are called to give and receive love in humble service to one another. Formed into a new body in Christ through this holy meal, we are transformed by the mercy we have received, and then we get to carry it out into this world. Ending our worship this evening in solemn silence, we anticipate the coming days. Our confession. Friends in Christ, in this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and loving each other. This is the struggle to which we were called in our baptism. Within the community of the church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. On this night, therefore, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor and enter the celebration of the great 3 days, reconciled with God and each other. A moment for silent reflection. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. Let's sing together our opening hymn, Lord, whose love in humble service.
Lord, whose love in humble service bore the weight of human need, who upon the cross forsaken worked your mercy. Perfect deed. We, your servants, bring the worship, not a voice alone but heart, consecrating to your purpose every gift which you impart. Still your children wander homeless, still the hungry cry for bread, still the captives long for freedom, still in grief sick and freed the soul. By your Spirit, send your power to our world to make it whole. As we worship, grant us vision to your love's revealing light. In its height and depth and greatness dawns upon our quickened sight, making known the needs and burdens your compassion bids us bear, stirring us to ardent service, your abundant life to share. Called by worship to your service, forth in your dear name we go. To the child, the youth, the aged, love and living deeds to show. Hope and health, goodwill and comfort, counsel, aid and peace we give. That your servants, Lord, in freedom, may your mercy know and live.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in praying the prayer of the day. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave us a new commandment to love one another as he loves us. Write this commandment in our hearts and give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship this evening with the readings.
The first reading on this Maundy Thursday comes from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and 11 through 14. Israel remembered its deliverance from slavery in Egypt by celebrating the festival of Passover. This festival featured the Passover lamb, whose blood was used as a sign to protect God's people from the threat of death. The early church described the Lord's Supper using imagery from the Passover, especially in portraying Jesus as the Lamb who delivers God's people from the sin and death. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The responsive psalm comes from chapter 116, verses 1 through 2 and 12 through 19. "I love the Lord, who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I called. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Precious in your sight, O Lord, is the death of your servants. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. In the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper, we experience intimate fellowship with Christ and with one another, because it involves his body given for us and the new covenant in his blood. Faithful participation in this meal is a living proclamation of Christ's death until he comes in the future. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should do as I do have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." He also said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm only with you a little longer. You'll look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong.
Was in the spring,
and spring became the summer.
Who'd have believed you'd come along?
Touching hands, reaching out,
touching me,
touching you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Maundy Thursday is a night full of unpopular ideas, so please bear with me and allow me to add one more unpopular idea to the list. I do not like the song, Sweet Caroline. Never have. I know, don't yell at me. I know that everybody, the entire population of the whole world, thinks it's the greatest song of all time, and I find it, well, annoying. Now, that's just a personal opinion. Do not write me nasty letters. I don't expect anyone to agree with me, and I'm not trying to influence anyone. And most importantly, it just doesn't matter. It's not really relevant to anything at all, except this. It's the kind of song that gets stuck in your head, whether you like it or not. When it gets to that part where it says, Sweet Caroline, bum, 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 you pretty much have to sing it. It's almost involuntary. It's somewhat automatic, and it just comes out of your face without even trying. Even if you don't want it to come out, the words are always just right there. I think that happens to us more than what we want to admit. There are thoughts and words and all kinds of ideas that are constantly swirling around us in this world. And some of them trigger something inside of us, an automatic response. There are certain things we can't even talk about with each other because people get too angry or too passionate or too full of themselves to communicate effectively and to be kind. What I'm getting at is this. It's really hard for us to set aside who we are and what we think and what we do in order to accept and to fully integrate ideas that are contrary to our unconscious internal workings. For example, washing feet. Jesus did this on the night in which he was betrayed. And it's okay that Jesus did it, but when we really think about it, foot washing is extremely counterintuitive to who we are in this day and age. It goes against our internal programming, our own idea of who we are and what we want to do in this world, because this is not fun, this is not good, it's gross. So recently I came across a particular Bible verse that would have been so incredibly helpful and relevant and insightful tonight, but I couldn't find it. I'm telling you, I have searched high and low, and I have not been able to find this Old Testament reference. But I remember it prohibits people from forcing their slaves, their servants, you know, those people that they pay to do those dirty jobs in their lives. The Bible says you can't make those people wash feet. God says you can't force people to clean other person's feet, because you know it's unclean and it's icky and it's degrading. You get this, right? I mean, if you were here in person tonight and I said, hey, I want you to come up here and I'm going to wash your gnarly old icky feet, would you really want me to do that? I mean, honestly, in your heart of hearts, would you want me to touch your feet? Would you want me to know that your second toe is longer than your big toe? Would you want me to know that your toenails are yellow and twisted? Or would you want me to know that you have hair growing out of your feet and you look like a hobbit? It's so anxiety-invoking. And according to the Bible, this is an action that is below the work of a servant. You can't make them do this. And yet, there was something key, something foundational about the nature of the kingdom of God that caused Jesus to fill a water basin, to tie a towel around his waist, to get down on his hands and knees in front of his disciples and tell his disciples to take off their sandals and come to him so that he could wash their feet. It was degrading, right? I mean, so much so that Peter, out of a sense of disgust, loudly objected. No, Lord, you are not going to wash my feet. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, unless you let me do this, you have no share with me. You're not a part of me. You're not a part of my ministry. You're not a part of the kingdom of God unless you let me do this, unless you let me serve you. So for Jesus, it's absolutely clear. This is key to understanding his way, his will, and the kingdom of God. But, you know, please don't misunderstand. It was common at this time for the owner of a house to provide a basin and some waters for the guests to wash their own feet to freshen up before dinner. This was a simple courtesy all the way back in the Old Testament to the time of Abraham and Sarah. But Jesus, he took it much further. He said, in essence, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm doing this because you need to fix the way that you're thinking. You need to replace all those old ideas, those old thoughts that keep running through your head about who you are, about how you're better than the other people around you, about how important you are, and really see that all those ideas are opposed to what it means to be my follower. You need to get rid of all that old garbage. You need to fight against that automatic feeling that you have inside of you. You think you're too good to do the icky things in this life. You think you're so special that you're somehow excluded from this kind of servanthood, this kind of humility that expects you to get down on your hands and knees and do really difficult things for other people, to love people above your own pride. Above your own preferences, above your own ideas, and most of all, above your own self, to serve each other as an expression of your love, but more importantly, as an expression of God's love. Well, you need to get over yourself, because this kind of servanthood is what it means to follow me. So this is hard, right? I mean, what Jesus has called us to do on Monday, Thursday is hard, if we really take it to heart, because some thoughts, some ways that we're living, some of the choices we make, the words that we say, the things that we do, clearly do not fit with what Jesus said about the kingdom of God. And we don't want to change. I really feel like that in this lesson, Jesus is holding us accountable. He's challenging us about whether or not we're actually going to integrate into practice what he taught us. And we need to be honest about it. Tonight of all nights, we need to be honest about whether or not we are following Christ. Because here in these words of Scripture, in this event that happened over 2,000 years ago, there are ideas that Jesus gives us that are absolutely central to our faith. Servanthood, humility, sacrificial love. And that's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is going to be. And that's who Jesus calls us to be, like it or not. So now it's up to us, each one of us, to check ourselves, to see how we're doing, to test our own thoughts, words, and deeds against those of our Lord Jesus. And we need to think about how we're doing with these things. And if we really believe what he told us to believe, we need to think about who we are in relation to Jesus. Because as Jesus said, he is our teacher and our Lord. And servants are not greater than their master. And messengers are not greater than the one who sends them. But then out of a deep sense of sincere sacrificial love, he said to his disciples, his friends, and he still says to us, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another, because that's how people will know that you belong to me. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day.
Let me be your servant, let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey, we are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
We continue our worship this evening by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United by the servant love of Christ Jesus, we pray this holy night for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, you have called us to give forward what we have also received from you, your love, your humble service. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be servants of your love and to pour out our lives for others just like you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, by water and the word, we have been set apart as precious and beloved children. You have washed us and forgiven our sins, and in the process, you have given us great hope. Help us to continue to give this gift to anyone who seeks you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as you saved your people Israel from slavery and the hatred of Egypt and brought them to the promised land, we ask that you save our nation and our world from hatred and anger and violence. We pray for good and holy leaders who not only seek their own self-interest, but instead work for the wholeness and the peace of this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord Jesus, you loved your followers to the very end. Grant assurance of that love to all who need it in this moment. We ask that you be with all those who are sick or suffering, and that your Holy Spirit is present to comfort those who mourn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Almighty God, we thank you for generations and generations of your followers who have proclaimed our Lord's death. Unite us with them in a hope that does not die until he comes again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue with our offering this evening. I'd invite you to use that time to think about this new commandment that we serve God by loving each other. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It's our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people from around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn.
Oh, Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love. Oh, name of might and favor, all other names above. We worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing. We praise thee and confess thee, our holy Lord and King.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached the good news to the poor, and who on the cross has opened his arms to all people. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his return coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share in this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one, we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to receive the blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in a wonderful sacrament, you strengthen us with the saving power of your suffering, death, and resurrection. May this gift of your body and blood so work in us that the fruit of your redemption will show forth in the way that we live. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our service at this time with the stripping of the altar.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors put their trust in you. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. But as for me, I am worm and not human, scorned by all and despised by the people. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips, they shake their heads. Trust in the Lord, let the Lord deliver. Let God rescue him if God so delights in him. Yet you are the one who drew me forth from the womb and kept me safe on my mother's breast. I have been entrusted to you ever since I was born. You were my God when I was still in my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many young bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their jaws to me, like a slashing and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint. My heart within my breast is melting wax. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And you have laid me in the dust of death. Packs of dogs close me in, a band of evildoers circles around me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones while they stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O help, hasten to my aid. Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me. I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob lines, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim from generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, the Lord has acted.